Series Jesus Is, and today we're talking about Jesus Is coming back. We're talking about different attributes of Jesus and how important it is for us to know these attributes, because I think that too often in society today, we have some misconceptions about who Jesus is. Maybe we believe too much in a mushy kind of Jesus, you know, and that's not necessarily who is. Or maybe we think of like the fire and brimstone, hellfire and brimstone Jesus, you know, that's coming down and just judging everybody, you know. And there's some misconceptions that we have. And so we want to talk about Jesus and hopefully help you have a better understanding of who Jesus is and what he desires from you and for your life. And that's why we're going through this series. It's simply about Jesus. Here's the theme verse that we have, and I love the way that the Message says it in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 2. It says, "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's masterstroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophies. No, instead, I deliberately kept it plain and simple." And this is what the message is. It's first Jesus, who he is, and then what he has done for us. I said he was crucified for you and for me. And I pray that this is going to be our church. That we don't have a difficult message that we're trying to spread to people. That we don't have like all of the latest trends, and that we're trying to do all of these polished speeches. Because you get me as a pastor speaking to you, and that's not going to happen too often, all right? And so we're not trying to do all that. No, we're just trying to keep it plain and simple. It's about Jesus, folks. That's what it is. I don't know why I said folks like I was born in 1950 or something. I don't know why, but I did. Folks, we're trying to keep it plain and simple. It's all about Jesus. I hope that this is our church. And here's what I mean by that, that it's not just the church as a body. You are the church. I hope that you can keep it plain and simple in your life, that your life is just simply about Jesus. First, who he is, and then what he has done for your life. He has changed you. He has redeemed you. He has healed you and delivered you. He has transformed you and let you fulfill life. That's what Jesus is. That's all it's all about. We want to be about Jesus here in our church, and that means in your life. And so this morning we're going to talk about something that kind of gets a little bit skewy sometimes, that Jesus is coming again. We're going to talk about the fact that Jesus is coming again. And so it's kind of talking about like the end times. And when I say the end times, man, you might fall into one or two camps. You're like in one or two areas. Like you might be over here on this side and you'd be like, man, end times, man, that gets you pumped up. Like you want to study the Revelation, and you want to talk about 666 and the Antichrist, and what does the mark of the beast look like? We got any marks in here? Any marks? All right, that's what I thought. Don't want to have any marks of the beast in here, okay? You want to talk about that stuff. It gets you pumped up, right? Or maybe you fall on the other side of the spectrum, and you get a little bit like, whoa, hey, I don't know what's going on over there, you know, like the book of Revelation. I'll tell you, that's where I fall a little bit more over on this side. I have no idea what Revelation's talking about sometimes. I really don't, because it's weird. It can be a little bit weird, you know? And this is, I think, the reason why I grew up with my dad and my mom. When they found out that they were going to have me as a child, they were pregnant with me. My dad was convinced that I was not going to be born, that Jesus was coming again before I was going to be born. And that's how I grew up. I grew up with this thought that Jesus is coming back at any second. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember a movie called The Thief in the Night? That scared the bejesus out of you, didn't it? Yeah, it did. It scared me. I'll tell you, I mean, I would walk into a room and I would expect my parents or my family to be there and nobody's there. And I'm thinking, I missed it. Everybody's gone, and I missed it, man. The rapture happened. God, I'm sorry that I made a dirty joke. I'm sorry I was mean to my sister. You know, that's how I grew up. Anybody with me? Yeah, exactly. It freaked me out. Yeah. I don't know about that. some messed up things. I did some messed up things after that. Anyway, man, we grew up with this idea. And so for me, I don't necessarily understand what Revelation is talking about. And there's many people who have different ideas about Revelation. And so many times it divides us instead of unifies us together. And so we don't necessarily know what's going on. But the reality is that Jesus is coming back, and it's important. It's important for us to know because the Bible talks about it so often. In fact, there are 27 books in the New Testament, and 23 of them mention Jesus coming again. There are over 300 verses in the New Testament that talk about Jesus coming again. And so it's an important thing for us to be able to look at. We need to be able to study this and to see what it is. So let me give you some backstory of what that means, that Jesus is coming again. So over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was actually born here on earth. It's a historical fact that he was here and that he was living a life. And in the last 3 years of his life that he was in ministry, and that he was teaching people about life and what it meant to be able to live and how he was going to be the truth, the life, and the way. And then a moment came where he was crucified for your sins and for mine. And in three days he rose again from the dead, and death couldn't keep him down. There was nothing that was going to be able to stop him from being able to have a bridge for you and me to be able to go before God. And that's why he came. And then for about 40 days after he rose from the dead, he was sitting there hanging out with his disciples, and about 500 people would see him after this, and he's walking through walls and crazy stuff like this. I mean, it was wild, man. This is what Jesus was doing. And then after about those 40 days, there was this moment, and we call it the Great Ascension. And we can see here in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, or 7 through 9, and it kind of sets it up, And so he's hanging out with the disciples, and he said for them this. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." They're asking when the kingdom is actually going to be established. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. That's the ascension. And a cloud hid him from their sight. So they are sitting there talking with Jesus. And he tells them, it's not for you to know when that time is going to come. And he said, you need to be able to wait here. The Holy Spirit is going to come, give you power. You're going to be my witnesses. And you're going to talk about me to the ends of the earth. And as he says that, then all of a sudden, he starts to rise. That is wild, isn't it? He starts to rise, and they're sitting there, and they know that this is the Son of God. And he starts to rise, and they're waiting, man. They're sitting there looking, and the clouds start to try to hide him, but they're still just waiting because they know that this is a special moment, and they just want to be able to look at him and keep looking at Jesus. And so they're just looking until nothing is left. And they're just all sitting there staring up. And then all of a sudden this happens. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. These are angels that stood beside them. And they say this, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven." So Jesus came in a physical body. He's going to return in a physical body. He went up into the clouds. He's going to return from the clouds. That is what they're saying. It's going to happen. There is going to be a return of Christ. It's important for us to be able to talk about it. But what we hope to do today is we can talk about it in a very real, in a very natural way. Because there's a lot of misconceptions that we have about the second coming. There's a lot of like weirdness to it. Again, those are some of the things that I grew up in and even brought into this. Like I'm somebody who doesn't necessarily want to go into that mode because it kind of messed me up when I was a kid a little bit. You know, I was scared a lot. But we want to be able to talk about it in a very real way. And hopefully in a way that you're going to leave here not frightened, but that you're going to be filled with hope and encouragement. Amen. That you're going to be able to say, man, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. That is our eternal hope. He wants to be with us. And so this morning, we have a lot of scriptures that we're going to be able to go through. And so if you're somebody who really likes to take a copious amount of notes, man, this is going to be a good one for you. And there is a lot of notes that we have. And so because of that, I'm going to be going back to my notes quite a bit to make sure that I really get some of these scripture passages to you, because this is important for us to be able to do. And we need to be able to go to scripture and understand exactly why Jesus is coming again and get rid of some of those misconceptions that we might have. And so the first thing that we want to be able to talk about, the misconception that we might have is that we might know when Jesus is going to come again. And that's not true. The reality is this, is that he's going to come unexpectedly. Jesus is going to come again, but he's going to come completely unexpectedly. They didn't know when he was going to be able to go away. They didn't know when Jesus was going to be born the first time. We have no idea when he's going to come back again. We don't. Man, I got to tell you, does anybody grew up in church? You might have remembered a little booklet that came out in 1988. And it was called 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. It's a catchy title right there, right? It was amazing. And then the very next year, he came out with another booklet. It was a little less critically acclaimed, called 89 Reasons Why He's Coming Back in 1989. Man, people predict this stuff all the time, right? Anybody remember a year called 2012? Man, everybody was talking about it. You know, like the Mayans, they got it figured out, right? I mean, that's what we thought. It was like, what in the world? And there was even a guy that he took out a national campaign. Anybody see those trucks driving around? Like 2012 is when Jesus is coming back again. I could tell you something. When I saw that sign, I was like, it's probably not going to happen in 2012 now. Because nobody knows. But it's a natural question for us to ask. When is this going to happen? And in fact, the disciples, they asked Jesus the exact same thing in Matthew chapter 24. It says this. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. And they said this, tell us, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? It's a natural question for us to be able to ask. The disciples even asked Jesus. And the thing about this question is that Jesus responds to them and he says, nobody knows the answer. He said, even I have decided that I'm not going to know the answer. Only God the Father knows the time, when it is. And so we need to understand that there's no secret Bible code that's going to describe when Jesus is going to come back. There's nothing that is going to really be able to say, oh, that's the day, that's the hour. It's not going to happen. He's going to come back unexpectedly. We don't know when it's going to be. That's reality. But now here's the thing, though, is that Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, and I would encourage you, go ahead and read the entire chapter. It's a pretty short chapter. You can read the entire thing in probably 5 to 10 minutes. And there's a checklist. There's a checklist that happens that gives us signs of the end of the age, of what is going on that will happen in the end times. And so here's what I can tell you is that going through that list, that you can go through that list and you can see every single one of those things checked off right now. So are we living in the end times? I have absolutely no idea if we are. We very well could be, though, because we see all of those things taking place. In fact, one of those things that are in there is the fact that the gospel, that the word of God will be preached to all people groups. We live in a time where we have seen the greatest missions event happen in the world. That the church has gone out and we are reaching the four corners of the earth. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense because it seems like the world is becoming worse and worse every single day, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely it does. And you know that in China, that there are about 30,000 people coming to Jesus every single day. We are seeing people come to Jesus in mass amounts that we've never seen before. And it makes sense that at the end of the age, that people are going to be on two different spectrums. that there's going to be a big divide that's going to happen. Either you're for him or you're against him, right? So of course it's going to look like things are bad. That's exactly what's going to happen. It shouldn't surprise us, but we're seeing more and more and more people come to Jesus. The church is just growing like it never has before. He's going to come unexpectedly. We know that that's the case. Matthew chapter 24, verse 40 through 42 kind of gives that another picture of this. Two men, this is the picture of what it's going to look like. Two men will be in a field, and one will be taken and the other is left. Two women will be grinding with handmill, and one will be taken and the other is left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. It's going to happen unexpectedly. It's going to happen when we don't even know. Look at this one, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Man, that movie messed me up. But we know it's going to happen unexpectedly. You don't know when a thief is going to come. You just need to be able to make sure that you're ready for it. Oh, some of you caught that. The other thing that we want to be able to talk about is this. We know he's going to come unexpectedly. This is the hope that we have, though. This is so important for us, is that instead of us living in this moment of fear, instead of us living like, oh man, when is this going to happen? I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if my son's going to be born. Because I don't know about you, but this was me. Man, when my dad, mom and dad would talk about it, and they would, when I was a kid, they would talk, man, Jesus is going to come back. There was part of me that was like, I don't want him to. I really don't. There's some things that I want to have happen in my life when I was a little kid, right? Like, I wanted to play on my high school basketball team. That was a dream that I had. I wanted to see that happen. I wanted to be able to travel the world. You know, here's what I wanted. I wanted to get married and have a wedding night, all right? Come on, somebody. You're with me now. I wanted to have that happen before Jesus came, you know? This was my picture. My picture was like, man, I found my beautiful bride, and we're getting ready. She's walking down the aisle, and I'm getting all excited. And then right at the minute she stands right there, boom, that's when it happens. Come on, Jesus. You can wait one more day, you know? Like, that's the idea that I would have in my head. And so there was part of me that didn't want to have it happen. And I didn't want to see it happen. But here's the thing, is that we understand, why is he coming back? Here's why he's coming back. He's coming back for his church. What does that mean? It means that he's coming back for you and for me. See, so many of us, we talk about this. I would love to have Jesus physically present with me. Wouldn't that be amazing? To be able to walk around with Jesus and be able to talk to him and have a physical conversation, we would desperately want that. Anybody with me? Well, guess what? Jesus desperately wants that too. That's why he wants to come back, because he wants to be with you physically. He's coming back for you and for me. There's hope in that. He loves you so much. That's why he wants to come back. He misses being with you. Yes, he's with us all the time. He lives in our heart when we believe in him. But man, he wants to have that physical relationship where we're going to be able to walk hand in hand and we can go do stuff together. That's what he wants. He wants to come back for you. Look at this passage right here. I love this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also may be where I am. Man, I just love that. I love that he wants to be with us. That encourages me so much. Look at this one in 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, that's pretty cool, because I don't know about you, but I have lost loved ones in my life. And so what happens is that when Jesus is coming down, that the dead in Christ, those that have gone before us, that their bodies are going to raise up. And as Jesus is coming to get us, that they're going to meet us as well. That's a hope of encouragement. We got to be with the people that we love. And they're coming down with us. And that's so great. And then this, it says this. Keep going on. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's a beautiful picture. Jesus is coming down. He wants to be able to bring us with him. and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another these words. Man, I'm telling you, we get to be with the Lord forever. That's what his desire is for you and for me and anybody who believes it. His will is that. He wants to be able to spend eternity with us. Why is he coming again? Because he desperately wants to be with you. Desperately wants to be with me. He's coming back for his church, people. That's why he's coming back. I love that. It's such a beautiful sentiment. You know, it's so cool because we get this faulty picture of what heaven's going to look like too, don't we? We get this faulty picture of what it's going to look like. We think that we're going to be like flying around with like little baby wings and playing harps or something like that, you know, just singing all the time. And that's not what it's going to really be. That's not what it looks like. In fact, when Jesus comes again, he says that he's going to establish a new earth and a new heaven. And what that means is that he's going to reestablish his original plan for us. Basically what the Garden of Eden was like, where he got to walk with Adam and Eve before the fall. And they had work to do. They had to be able to tend to the garden. We're going to have things to do. He's just going to reestablish what it's supposed to be. And what is that supposed to be? It means that there's going to be no more crying. And those of you that have come in here and you've worn out your tears, haven't you? Life has just hit you too hard. Guess what, man? Jesus is coming back because no more crying, no more pain. There's no more pain. We have chronic pain and no more disease. These things that tear down our body, tear down our mind, it's going to be gone. We don't have to worry about that. There's going to be no more taxes. Come on, somebody. Like, you came to church just to be able to hear that one right there. No more insurance. There's going to be no more of that stuff. Life is going to be perfect. It's going to be the way that he set it up. Chick-fil-A is going to be open on Sunday. Come on, somebody. Jesus is coming back for you. He wants to be able to establish that. He desperately wants to be with us just the same way that we are with him. Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Come, you who have believed in me. Come, you who have followed me and have accepted me. Take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. He's preparing a place for us. He's preparing perfection for us. He's coming back for his church. Now, the last misconception is one that I don't necessarily want to be able to talk about. It's not one that's fun to be able to talk about, but it's important. And as a pastor, I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't talk about it. But the reality is that when he comes back, there's going to be some judgment. He's going to come to judge the earth. It's going to happen. Revelations 20, 11 through 13. And then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, and as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. The reality is that we will be judged for what we have done. And that seems harsh, doesn't it? There's going to be judgment for us. There's going to be judgment for each and every single person for what we've done and how we've lived. It's going to happen. We can't escape it. But the good thing is that why does this happen? Is because our God is a just God. Our God is a just God, and there's going to be justice. And the great thing is that there's going to be justice for you. Not just for the things that you've done, but for the things that have happened to you. See, God's got your back. And you don't have to repay evil for evil because God's got your back. He's a just God. See, it makes you feel good about that, right? God's got my back. I'm so thankful that God's a just God because he's got my back. Look at what it says here in 2 Thessalonians. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble and give relief to you who are troubled. Man, he's going to bring relief. You've lived in troubledness. He's going to bring relief to you. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. And he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. And not many of us are sitting there saying, yeah, that's awesome. Wow, bring on the judgment, right? That's not what we're sitting there. It's like, man, that seems harsh, God. Doesn't that seem harsh? In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. It's the exact opposite is that God is a just God. It's one of his attributes, and he can't get away from it. He always was and always is and always will be a just God. He cannot be close to evil because he is perfection. He is holy, which means that he is set apart. You can't have sin and evil in his sight. And so here's why he's not harsh in this. Why is it that he has waited so long to be able to come back? Because he desperately wants every single person to be able to accept him. He desperately wants every single person to be able to say, Jesus, I believe in you. Because here's the truth. I hate to say that God's going to judge, but I love to be able to say this. He wants to take the judgment for you. He wants to take the judgment for you. You have all of your sin, each and every single one of us. Man, we were born in this sinful nature. We do things that are wrong all the time, but he wants to be able to take it for you. And when you believe in Jesus, when you take him into your heart and you follow him, then he pushes as far as the east is from the west your sins. And when that day comes, when we have that great white throne judgment, he's going to be able to open up that book. There's going to be nothing in it. Because he wants to take the judgment for you. He's not a harsh God. No, he's a loving God that desperately wants to be able to say, I love you, and I want to be able to wipe that book clean for you. There's going to be judgment. But he prepared a way. He prepared a way for us. That's not a harsh God. That's a loving God that sacrificed himself for you and for me. Don't think about the judgment. Think about the one that's going to take the judgment for you. It's so great that Jesus is coming again. We're so thankful that he's coming again. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? How do we respond to the fact that Jesus is coming again? So here's what I want to do. I want to be able to give you a couple of challenges, and they're found just right in Scripture. It's so great in 2 Timothy 4:1. It says, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, in light of the fact, in the knowledge that he is coming again, I give you this charge. And the very first one is this. We need to be able to reach people. Here's the charge that we have in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. In light of the fact that he's going to judge the earth, in light of the fact that he is coming again, he tells us, I charge you, preach the word. Preach the word, reach people, because it is his desire that none should perish, but all have eternal life. He wants to desperately to be with every single person. And so that's why, man, it's up to us. We got to be able to preach the word. We got to be able to reach people. There are people that need to know Jesus. That's why we put signs out. We put signs out in our yard because we desperately want to be able to reach people. We want people to know the life-changing power of Jesus Christ that you've experienced and that I've experienced. Man, I know Jesus. I know him as my Lord and my Savior, and he's radically changed my life. And I want people to experience the exact same thing. It's that simple. It's just Jesus. Man, and he gives us the ability to do this. He gives us the ability to be able to reach people. We looked at this earlier, but it says here in Acts 1, chapter 8, or 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You're going to have a gift. God's going to give you power. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you have power, and you're going to have a gift. And that gift is not to freak people out. That gift is not to go crazy with some weird things, all that stuff. No, here's what it is. It's going to come on you, and you will be my witnesses. That's why we have power. That's why the Holy Spirit has come upon you, so that you can have power to be a witness. What's a witness? What does a witness do? A witness simply gives an account for the events that they have experienced. What have you experienced? What have you experienced? You just need to be able to give an account for that. That's preaching the word. That's being able to be able to tell somebody, man, I got to tell you something. Man, I was jacked up before. I was doing all of these things that I was living a life of destruction. Man, I had destructive relationships. I had habits that were destructive to my body and that were tearing me down. And I'll tell you what, all of a sudden I had a moment where Jesus smacked me in the back of the head and he was like, yeah, I've got a better life for you than this. I created you for more than what you're doing right now. I've got a plan for you. I got a plan to be able to give you hope and give you freedom. And that's what he had for me. And I get to be able to tell people that. Man, I tell you, I was in a bad place. I was going in the wrong direction. And then Jesus came. And I got to experience Jesus. And you can do that too. That's preaching the word. That's going out and reaching people. That's being his witness. Why do we do this? Oh, I'm telling you, I love this verse. In Jude 1, 22 through 23. Be merciful to those who doubt. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. There's going to be people that we come across that are going to doubt Jesus. Be merciful to them. And have the love that Christ has for them. And tell them about Jesus to keep them from that fire. That's what Jesus desperately wants. Be merciful to those who doubt. Jesus doesn't want anybody to perish, but for all to have eternal life. We need to be able to reach people. What else do we do? The second charge that Paul gives us is be ready. Be ready. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Be ready. Be ready for Jesus to come back. Be ready for the moment that he comes back. Man, what does that look like? Does that mean that we need to go stockpile our shelves, you know, for the great tribulation and I need to have water and guns and ammo for when people are trying to come at me? No, that's not what it is. We need to be ready in our hearts. We need to be ready with our lives. We need to be able to follow Jesus every single day. Here's the reason why I don't have to go and try to study the book of Revelation and try to figure out all of the intricacies and what does this locust mean and what does this beast mean and this crown and this lampstand. Well, I don't need to figure all that kind of stuff out. I just need to be able to figure out how to love Jesus every day, single day more and more. I need to be able to say, how can there be less of me and more of Christ inside of my life? Because I want to be ready that Jesus might come back tomorrow. He might come back tomorrow. I don't know. He might come back in 40 years. He might come back in 50 years. I have no idea, but I'm going to be ready for it. I'm going to be anticipating it. I can't wait for it because I want to be with Jesus. He wants to be with you. He wants you to be ready. Be ready for him. Have your heart, your life prepared. He's going to come like a thief in the night. And we have to be ready. Be ready for the moment. So my big takeaway, our big takeaway from this message, if Jesus is coming back again, and he is, our big takeaway is a question. Are you ready? Are you ready if Jesus did come back today? Is your heart ready for Jesus? Is your life ready for Jesus? Have you told that person that's close to you? Have you told them what you want them to know if Jesus did come back today? Are you ready? Are you ready for that moment? We need to be ready. I want us to be able to just close together in prayer. And ask God to help us prepare our hearts. Thank Him. Jesus, we thank You so much that You did die on a cross and that You rose again from the dead. And You prepared a way for us to be able to spend eternity with You. God, we thank You so much that You're coming again because You want to be with us desperately. And Jesus, I pray right now that every single person in this room, I pray right now that every single person in this room, that they would be ready for You.